This piece was inspired by a single image used in a Guardian article from April 2020. The image showed hundreds of families attempting to leave Lima City in Peru on foot and walk the highways back to their home villages. Blocking their pathway was riot police and tear gas. You see, despite a virus like COVID-19 using the same form of attack on humans, no matter where they may live, the consequences of this pandemic are not the same for everyone. The incredible speed of innovation which the scientific community have demonstrated since the beginning of 2020 will only truly be realized in years to come. But what is already clear to see is that the inequality which exists around the world means that the poorest nations are being left behind in their battle to combat the spread of COVID-19. At the time of completing this recording, India had just suffered its worst day of the pandemic, with the country reporting record numbers of cases and deaths. The story of Peru should have been a warning of what could happen if the world failed to work together in the fight against COVID-19. To visually support the audio piece, three images, including the one which acted as inspiration for this production, have been provided, along with a full reference list. To be fully appreciated, this story should be listened to in one sitting, ideally wearing headphones or in a quiet place. The piece is titled Black Market Oxygen, The Peru Project. Thank you.
Last night, the Department of Health confirmed that the first case of coronavirus in the Republic of Ireland has been detected in a man in the east of the country who'd travelled from an affected area in northern Italy. It's understood the man has been treated in a Dublin hospital and efforts are now underway to trace those who may have been in close contact with him, a process that's expected to be completed within the next 24 hours.
Hoy debo informar que en horas de la madrugada se ha confirmado el primer caso de infección por coronavirus COVID-19 en nuestro país.
Dublin City and the capital of Peru, Lima, are separated by a distance of 9,838 kilometers. Ireland is located in the northern hemisphere and Peru in the southern hemisphere. But when COVID-19 began to spread around the world, these large distances became insignificant. The virus, which has come to shape our lives over the past year, began to appear almost instantaneously in all corners of the globe. The first case of COVID-19 was confirmed in Ireland on the 29th of February 2020. Less than a week later, the President of Peru announced the detection of the first person with the virus in Peru. Over the next 2 months, both countries would announce almost identical measures in the hope of stopping the spread of the virus. Schools were closed, stay at home, and quarantine orders were put in place, and as the case numbers continued to rise, and unfortunately more people died, public health measures were extended. Despite the two countries following the same steps, the outcomes would be very different, and this virus would not affect the two countries equally. To try to understand why, it's necessary to think of the many meanings which the word virus has had over the ages. Poison, venom, or secretion from a wound? As biological science advanced, viruses were understood to be infectious agents smaller than bacteria. And by 1938, using electron microscopy, the first virus had been visualized. We now understand that it is an infectious agent made up of a nucleic acid molecule surrounded by a protein coat and can only multiply within living cells of a host. There are other more modern uses of the word, such as a computer virus or a piece of news can be said to go viral. But for the purpose of this piece, I want you to think of a virus as something more than a microorganism. Because I think that what COVID-19 has shown to us as a species is that there is another virus moving through society, one which has been exposed by COVID-19, and that is the extreme inequality that exists across the globe. Over the past 60 years, the population of Peru has grown by almost 220% to 33 million, This is an incredible growth in population, and due to governmental measures and investments, large proportions of the population have moved out of poverty. However, according to the World Bank, 20% of Peruvians still live below the poverty line. But a statistic which is more pertinent to the current pandemic is that 70% of employed work is carried out in informal conditions, and mostly by women. This sector provides critical employment for the poor, especially where social welfare may not be sufficient for survival. But unfortunately, many who work in this form of employment may be forced to accept below standard working conditions and may not be able to access basic social services. Add to this, a 2018 Peruvian government report found that 44% of households did not have a refrigerator. So when the government decide to close public markets and shops, what do those who do not have fridges do to store food? And what do those who survive on their daily income do without any money? As Easter 2020 approached in Ireland, President Higgins sent out a message to Irish people home and abroad, acknowledging how difficult the past few weeks had been.
This Easter 2020 is a challenging time for so many. All of our Irish family, and particularly those abroad, are very much in the thoughts of loved ones during these difficult days as we strive together to come to terms with the coronavirus and its consequences. Over the past number of weeks, all of us have awoken abruptly to changes in our way of life. There is an uncertainty, anxiety, and fear to be overcome as the coronavirus takes hold in our communities. We've all been asked to take more restrictive measures in order to stop the spread of the virus, measures that would have been unimaginable just a few weeks ago.
As difficult as those first few weeks were for people in Ireland, for many it gave the opportunity to spend time at home in a way which may not have been possible before. But by the time Easter week had passed, those in Peru had spent almost 5 weeks in a state of quarantine, not being allowed to leave cities such as Lima to return to their rural towns and villages. For those who live in cities like Lima and work in the informal sector, the closure of markets and shops meant there was no money for rent or for food, and after 5 weeks, hungry families were desperate. Hundreds of families, some with young children, attempted to leave Lima by walking the highway that would take them back to their home villages in the mountains. In an effort to stop the group leaving the city, the police created a blockade on the highway and fired tear gas into the crowd. It was the picture which captured this event in April 2020 that inspired me to create this piece. Now, this is not meant to be a criticism of the Peruvian government. Obviously, firing tear gas into crowds of hungry families trying to escape the city is horrific. But why would the government and the police feel such an approach was necessary? Well, although the ICU bed capacity is comparable to Ireland per head of population, Peru lacks ventilators. Whereas Ireland had 500 at the start of the pandemic, Peru, with a population nearly 7 times that of Ireland, had only 50. So as those people attempted to leave the city and walk to their villages in the mountains, the government knew that with hospitals already at capacity, spread of this virus out of the city could be catastrophic. By May, the effect of the public health restrictions in Ireland would see case numbers drop significantly, to the point the restrictions were eased as the summer progressed. Peru, having opted for strict measures from a very early stage, also started to ease restrictions in May, allowing more sectors of society to return to work. However, unlike Ireland, Peru would see case numbers continue to rise into June. This led to contrasting situations on the ground in the respective countries.
From early morning, large crowds gathered outside penny stores across the country. The retailer has reopened 16 stores, and many turned up bright and early to bag a bargain.
It was brilliant. It felt like Christmas. I just got everything that I wouldn't usually buy online or at.
I was getting some socks because obviously we're running low on that. There's no shops closed.
I felt like heaven on earth.
I'm delighted. I thought I was going on summer holidays and I woke up this morning with excitement.
They've been waiting patiently for hours, queuing round the block to refill an oxygen tank that a relative suffering from COVID-19 is depending on to survive.
I work night shifts for a security company. Look at the effort I have to make so I can help my mother. If she doesn't get oxygen in a day or two, she could die.
Peru has the second highest number of coronavirus cases in Latin America after Brazil. Hospitals are running out of oxygen. as are many suppliers. Prices are rising quickly as people such as Raymond race to fill up. He's buying oxygen for his wife, who's in hospital with COVID-19.
As different sectors across Peru continue to open throughout July and August, case numbers rose steadily, resulting in the state of emergency which the country had been placed under months earlier, being extended for a further 90 days. More and more parts of the country were placed under lockdown and international flights were banned for the rest of the year. In Ireland, people had been encouraged at first to stay local through June, and as the summer continued, restrictions were lifted, allowing for more extensive travel. COVID numbers remained low before spiking in October, and then in the lead up to Christmas and the following weeks, Ireland would enter its darkest days in the battle against COVID-19. However, reintroduction of public health restrictions would see COVID cases drop dramatically through January. Ireland successfully reduced its daily COVID count by 90% from its peak in January. Peru would not be so fortunate. Living conditions and the need to work for survival would mean staying at home was simply not an option for people. As a result, COVID numbers would remain stubbornly high. Just like Ireland, they began to climb after Christmas. But unlike Ireland, where we managed to crush the curve, the case numbers in Peru have continued to rise ever since. With the arrival of more and more vaccines to the market, 2021 offered promise and hope, where in 2020 there had only been worry and sadness. But the inequality which people in developing countries like Peru had experienced due to their living conditions and lack of access to medical treatment would continue with the rollout of the vaccine. First of all, it would be the government and elite of Peru who would try to put themselves ahead of the vulnerable. News broke in February that former President Martin Vizcarra, who had been impeached in November, had along with his wife been vaccinated as part of a clinical trial in October. It would soon emerge that almost 500 other people were also irregularly vaccinated, many of whom were high-profile public officials.
Several top politicians in Peru are caught in coronavirus vaccine scandals. Its foreign minister has resigned after receiving a dose of China's Sinopharm vaccine outside of clinical trials and before the national immunization program began. Elizabeth Astete's resignation comes just one day after the health minister also resigned due to a separate scandal where former President Martin Vizcarra had received an early vaccination.
This news would lead to anger among the Peruvian public, as it would be almost 4 months before healthcare workers would begin receiving their first vaccines in February. But despite the difference in income levels between Ireland and Peru, that doesn't make us immune to elite groups attempting to gain advantage over others.
First, the master of the Coombe Maternity Hospital in Dublin has apologised after it emerged that the hospital gave COVID-19 vaccines to 16 family members of staff on the 8th of January. Now, in a statement from the hospital, Professor Michael O'Connell said, "In hindsight as master, I deeply regret that family members of employees were vaccinated, and for that I wholeheartedly apologise." And we know you may have heard in the news bulletin there that the Minister for Health has said this morning that trust in the vaccine programme is of critical importance and what happened should not have happened, and he's seeking a full account from the hospital.
The Beacon Hospital said the decision was made to administer the 20 vaccines to teachers at St. Gerard's School in Bray, County Wicklow, which is 13 kilometres away from here, because they say they were in a position to get to the centre within the exceptionally short time frame required. However, there are a number of schools in the vicinity of this hospital, some of which are just a few hundred metres away.
Although the vaccine rollout cannot happen quick enough, there is no doubt that the wealthier countries have dominated the early purchasing of the available vaccines. This has placed poorer countries in a position where it is likely they will remain in a state of emergency for much longer, pushing more fragile economies into decline. As of the 25th of April, Ireland had given the first dose of a COVID-19 vaccine to over 20% of the population. Compare that to Peru, where only 2.6% of the population had received their first dose of the vaccine. Everybody wants to return to some level of normality, and being vaccinated offers us the best chance to achieve that. But the world will not be able to move forward again until all of those who are most vulnerable to this virus have been given the best possible protection through a vaccine. For this reason, and many more, it is unthinkable that an Irish health minister would be boasting about the number of vaccines which we have ordered.
We have a lot of doses ordered, so I brought a memo to government yesterday to add several million to what we've already pre-ordered. So the total amount the government has now pre-ordered is 18.48 million or 18.5 million doses. That obviously is a lot of vaccine.
The WHO, along with a number of other groups through COVAX, are trying to achieve global equitable access to COVID-19 vaccines. But with many wealthy countries resorting to vaccine nationalism, the targets set out by COVAX are looking less and less likely to be reached. As of the 9th of April, according to the WHO, 87% of the 700 million vaccines distributed worldwide had gone to high or middle income countries. Low income countries have received 0.2% of global vaccines.
On average, in high income countries, almost one in four people has received a vaccine. In low income countries, it's one in more than 500. One in four versus one in 500. There remains a shocking imbalance in the global distribution of vaccines. COVAX works. It's a strong mechanism that can distribute vaccines faster and more efficiently than any other mechanism. The problem is not getting vaccines out of COVAX. The problem is getting them in. We understand that some countries and companies plan to do their own bilateral vaccine donations, bypassing COVAX for their own political or commercial reasons. These bilateral arrangements run the risk of fanning the flames of vaccine inequity. Scarcity of supply is driving vaccine nationalism and vaccine diplomacy.
The WHO have said when describing the efforts to distribute vaccines across the globe that nobody wins the race until everybody wins. The speed of scientific breakthrough which has been achieved in the past 15 months will change the world forever. But as science unravels the mysteries of nature, the findings and the rewards of these efforts should not become the property of the wealthy countries. The scenes from India over the past 2 weeks have been horrific to watch, but if the situation in Peru had been seen as important news over the past year, it could have acted as a warning to what can happen in a society where so many have so little. I believe that science can and will be the way we find a pathway through this pandemic. But for those of us fortunate enough to live in a developed country, we owe it to those less fortunate to find a way that doesn't leave them behind.